I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party truth, over your favorite personality, no matter how difficult it may be. Truth always wins, even when it hurts your feelings. Because guess what? The truth is not fair and balanced. And that's why any journalist who tries to be fair and balanced is promised you that they will never give you the truth, which should be disgusting and repulsive to the old idea of journalism to begin with. I think that, over years, the words change meanings. We've lost the meanings of words. We've replaced meanings of words. I was teaching a group of teens this evening, Teen Eagles from St. Louis. And I was pointing out how words have changed. You know, Thomas Jefferson was a liberal, and James Madison was a liberal, and George Washington was a liberal. But by the classical definition, because in their day, along with John Locke, if you were a liberal, it meant that liberty, you believe that liberty is a gift from God. Whole lot different today. Just like the understanding of democracy is different today than it was with our framers. When our framers refer to us as a democracy, it's not this modern definition of democracy in majority rules. Democracy, as our framers believed, used that term, referred to the demos plus kratos, the Latin translation of that, demos and kratos, meaning power from the people. Remember, the Declaration of Independence says that the governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That's the demos plus the kratos. But when you use the word democracy today, and when they use it on Fox, and when your favorite politician uses that word democracy, they're not talking about the demos plus the kratos. They're talking about majority rule. They're talking about the mob getting together and dictating policy to the minority. Our framers did not create that kind of democracy. Mob rule. Mob rule democracy only ensures that they'll always be slaves and always be rulers. And so we have to be very careful about how we use terms and what we speak, when we speak, and what we mean when we say those things. These words have really important meanings. And we cannot allow our favorite politicians to get away with saying things that simply aren't true and changing the meanings of reality. I mean, my goodness, that is what we're seeing today. You know me. I don't listen to talk radio. I know, shame on me. I don't watch Fox News. But sometimes when we're in the car and that's all we got, my husband likes to listen to some people we have as a couple vowed to never listen to, so there's a sort of marital pact when we turn on the talk radio and that person's on, no, we're not listening to that. But we will occasionally listen to the other people. And we were listening to Rush Limbaugh today. We had a 3.5-hour drive from Indianapolis to St. Louis. And I just, Ah, I couldn't take it. My head was about to explode. Do you know, and I really like Rush. I don't, you know, I mean, he's entertaining. He's knowledgeable. He's willing to actually be challenged in his own way of thinking. I've actually seen callers change Rush's mind. He's not like the other guy who screams and calls them idiots and knocks them off the air and is a total arrogant jerk, okay? We won't have to name names there, I'm sure. But Rush spent the entire show. I mean, let me be fair, okay? I didn't listen to the entire show. But for the 2 hours that I was listening, he spent the entire 2 hours talking about Donald Trump. Come on, people. We are 16 stinking months outside of the presidential election. 16 months! Are we really going to carry on these conversations for the next 16 months? Please, please, please. There are things going on around this world that would simply blow your mind if you could unplug from the mainstream media. I mean, we're learning things about our government. We're learning things about the way it interacts with foreign governments that should make us rush to the streets with pitchforks and torches. And yet we've got to go on about Megyn Kelly and Rush Limbaugh and not Rush Limbaugh, Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump you know, I mean, who are these people? I frankly don't care who becomes president. Do you really, really think this is going to change anything? Come on now. Seriously, can we just grasp a little bit of reality? Changing who occupies the White House is not going to change anything. It's bad enough that we've already deemed the President of the United States to be our federal ruler. I mean, yeah, that's not an exaggeration. That's not even hyperbole. We call him the leader of the country. The president is not the leader of the country. He's never meant to be the leader of the country. And I repeat myself, okay? We did not create in the office of the president the leader of the country. The leader of the country are the states and the people as directed by as they are directing Congress. The president is only the leader over the military with a formal declaration of war. And yet, we are going to spend the next 16 months debating over who's going to be the ruler of our little universe. It's a very, very sad, sad, sad state of affairs, and I would expect something better from Rush Limbaugh. So can we just escape this, okay? I don't want to talk about this anymore, and I'm not going to. And so maybe, maybe tomorrow I won't get drug into this MSM, did I say that? Yeah, MSM. MSM narrative, because we're getting sucked in like a political black hole, and I don't want to be sucked in the gravitation, break free from the gravitational pull of the mainstream media. So here we go. Things that are going around on in the world around you that maybe you weren't aware of because you're being sucked into the gravitational pull of the mainstream media black hole. Ferguson's erupted again. Imagine that. And coincidentally, I'm in St. Louis as Ferguson is erupting again. The interesting thing is that speaking to the natives here, guess what? It's not Missourians and St. Louisans in Ferguson making the uprising again. Once again, people have been trucked in to cause civil unrest, and we're left with police state, we're left with states of emergency, translate martial law, and complete and utter chaos because government doesn't understand its proper role and the people in the community are too disassociated with each other to actually come together and do something. Do you know that this is a control that has been attempted in other places and not worked? I'll remind you of the swimming pool incident in McKinney, Texas. They tried to trump that up into the same kind of irrational civil unrest and make mountains out of molehills. Now, I'm not saying people dead is a molehill, okay? I'm saying that things are being kicked out of proportion. Nobody knows the true sides of affairs anymore because there's no such thing as real journalism anymore. And I'll show you in just a minute how this works. But you see, in McKinney, Texas, this whole swimming pool fiasco got nowhere. Nowhere. Do you know why? Because as those on the outside were trying to escalate the situation beyond comprehension, the people in McKinney, Texas came together and said, no, not here. I mean, it was a complete outpouring from every arena in McKinney, Texas, saying, no, these are outsiders trying to make this something it's not. Yes, the officer acted outside his authority. He acted outside normal parameters, but we will take care of that within the investigation and within our community. We are not going to let this out of control, and this is not about race. Okay? And the people of McKinney, Texas quashed that fiasco right then and there. And so why isn't that possible in Ferguson? Why aren't the people of the community coming together and saying, look, we're sick and tired of this. We're sick and tired of the drama. We're sick and tired of the martial law. We're sick and tired of this being situation being completely out of control. We are going to come together as a people. We're going to come and establish order. We're not going to allow this deviant behavior in our society anymore. We are going to come together like civilized people and stop acting like a bunch of cave dwellers. We're going to take care of things. And, of course, you can't do that because the media would freak out. Case in point, the Oath Keepers are back in Ferguson, Missouri, patrolling the streets just as they did before, keeping the citizens safe. Because the government refuses to do their job and do that. The government, which is actually paid by tax dollars to protect and serve, is so ate up by federal control and political correctness and fear that they won't do anything to fulfill their obligations under their oaths and their salaries. So the private citizens are coming together to keep each other safe.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, Oath Keepers with guns. Imagine that. Private citizens owning firearms. Ooh, the travesty. And now you have Reuters, of course, you know, freaking out over this. Four white men carrying military-style rifles and sidearms. Really? No, I'm serious. That's how the article starts. Four white men. Who is race baiting here? See, this is the mainstream media black hole that frames everything in this racism, okay? And this is where we have to take back our communities. We have to take back the narrative. Four white men. You know what? I'm so sick of this. It's just disgusting. And then, what are these four white men doing? Carrying military-style rifles. Oh, my goodness. We all need to go and run in our rooms and hide under the beds and cry for the government to come and get us. Do you want to know the real sad news about this? These guys are doing what the government will not. I'll remind you that I interviewed the leader of this particular Oath Keepers group here in Ferguson, Missouri. I'm actually looking at the Reuters article now, and there's a picture of him on the Reuters article. His name is Sam Andrews. And if you go back through my podcasts, March 25th, 2015, the podcast is titled Ferguson, Missouri, Truth from the Man on the Roof. And, I just realized that's sort of rhythmic, isn't it? Kind of rhyming, truth from the man on the roof. I didn't intend to do that, and I didn't notice it till just now. But anyway, I interviewed him. He's the guy who's in charge of all the Oath Keepers that we saw the pictures of standing on the building tops, defending the private businesses and the people of Ferguson the first time around. I was shocked and moved to tears by what I learned from this interview. Shocked because the local police department was being guided and directed by the federal government, turning this thing into a complete and utter disaster, and then directing the local law enforcement to engage in real live psyops on the people of Ferguson against these Oath Keepers, whispering in their ears, "Hey, you see those guys on the roofs? They're from the KKK. They're here to kill you." No, that's not somebody making that stuff up. That's what the local law enforcement was told to do by the federal government, and that's exactly what they were doing. The people of Ferguson were terrified of these Oath Keepers until the Oath Keepers started talking to them and realizing that these people were there to protect them and not to hurt them. And then the people in the community started rallying around the Oath Keepers, bringing them coffee and snacks and chips and stuff, and thanking them and sending them gifts and thanking them for protecting them when the government, who's paid by our tax dollars to protect and serve, would not. And then you've got, of course, Reuters throwing their spin on it again today, labeling them as inflammatory, and acting like they've never heard of this group called the Oath Keepers before. And they say that the Oath Keepers, which describe itself as a nonpartisan association of current and former U.S. soldiers, police, and first responders who aim to protect the U.S. Constitution. They told reporters on the street that they were in Ferguson to protect a media organization. You know what? They protect businesses. The businesses that they were protecting the last time around were the ones who survived all the looting. And now Reuters has joined in the psyops to try to make people think that these people are evil, that they are unnecessary. That's what the St. Louis police chief said. Oh, their presence is unnecessary and inflammatory. No. Your presence, Mr. Police Chief, was proven to be unnecessary the first time around. Look at the destruction that occurred under your watch, Mr. John Belmer, police chief of St. Louis County. You make me sick, sir, because you hide behind that uniform and that shield and proclaim yourself self-righteous, but you never did a single thing to protect those businesses, and all you did was suppress the press. We know about your electronic jamming transmission equipment that was brought in by the feds that shut down the video cameras. We know that, Mr. Belmer. So don't tell me about the Oath Keepers being unnecessary and inflammatory. They're the only ones that actually did anything to stop the violence the last time around. And I guarantee you the people are grateful they're there this time, too.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know, something just occurred to me about this whole police chief's comments about Ferguson, the Oath Keepers being unnecessary and inflammatory. I imagine he believes they're unnecessary and inflammatory. Inflammatory is surely because they point out that the protection of these people and their businesses is possible, and that this police chief is negligent in his duties. Of course he would find that inflammatory, and of course he would find it unnecessary for anybody to point out that the police and the government are not doing their job. God forbid we actually see people defending themselves. You know, it's interesting, just to note, as a little bit of trivia, the average response time for law enforcement for a 911 call, 23 minutes. Do you know the response time of somebody armed with a 357? 1,400 feet per second. You know, the interesting point here is that if you can't defend yourself and you've got to wait for somebody to show up, you're already dead. Your house is burglarized, burned to the ground, and you have nothing because you had to wait 23 minutes. The right to keep and bear arms is an essential, inherent right to defend your life, your liberty, and your property. Because if you cannot defend your life, your liberty, and your property by yourself, then you are a slave and a subject to whomever you depend on to do that. You are a slave to the government when you are relying on them to provide you with protection. Because guess what? They don't have to. They can choose to come or they can choose not to come. And that's exactly what we saw in Ferguson the last time around. People choosing, government choosing not to protect life, liberty, and property. And here we have it. Oh, speaking of government protecting life, liberty, and property, the Environmental Protection Agency, acting in their official capacity, has caused the largest hazardous waste spill in recent history. Yeah, the EPA. You know those people who freak out over turtles and lizards and spotted owls? And shut down businesses and steal land from people over puddles that sit for more than 90 days, allowed for an entire week a torrent of toxic sludge to flow through Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico. Crazy, huh? I thought the EPA was supposed to be concerned about the environment. I thought they were the environmental wackos, and here they are absolutely destroying an essential waterway that runs through Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico, contaminating land, contaminating groundwater, contaminating other tributaries. And what do they have to say? Nothing. They're not going to make any comments. I'll remind you that when the BP oil spill happened, our illustrious commander-in-chief was not short on words. I even remember something like, "I am going to put my boot to their throat," over the BP oil spill. And yet we have crickets over the EPA destroying. We are never going to actually understand or comprehend what has happened here. Never. I don't think for decades we are going to be trying to figure out the extent of damage that we're seeing here. I mean, because we're not talking about the EPA dumping orange food coloring into the river. We're talking about toxic chemicals. We're talking about mercury. We're talking about waste. That means you can't drink this stuff, which means you can't eat anything that comes out of this river. And this river, you have to understand how this works, Okay? Water seeps into land. And the banks are going to be covered. And the tributaries. And all of this stuff. Every piece of land and everything that this water touches will now be contaminated to the point of being poisonous. I don't know. Was it an accident? How do you have an accident of this magnitude? How do you have an accident that goes on for an entire week? How do you call that an accident when something flows for an entire week? Oops! I forgot to turn off the valve for an entire week. And if that were you and me, oh my goodness, boot to the throat, we would be in prison. I want to know, as we're infatuated, intoxicated, and enamored by this whole presidential debate and who's going to be our next ruler. How many of them are going to step up and call for the defunding of the Environmental Protection Agency over this? I mean, how many of these things is this going to take? I'll remind you that it was sometime last year that Congress called the EPA on the carpet in a congressional hearing again, remember? Over diesel fuel emission studies? Congress calling the EPA saying, hey, show us these studies that you did where you formulated all these statistics so that you could create regulations to impose regulations on individual people in government and private businesses who operate with diesel engines and need to be regulated for diesel fuel emissions. Show us your scientific research that you claim supports all these regulations. And once they were called on the carpet, they had to finally admit that not only did they take the money to do those scientific studies and falsify the studies, but they didn't even do the studies at all. Our Congress knows that the EPA took taxpayer dollars to conduct scientific studies in which they falsified the study results and then admitted they never even did the studies at all. And what did Congress do to the EPA over that? Oh, they continued to send them funding. So I'm just simply asking, how much more of this do we need before we have somebody who's willing to stand up and say no more? Come on, people. Really? This is insanity. This is absolute insanity. I cannot. Look, my original college training is biochemistry. I know about these chemicals. I know what they do. I know how water moves. I know what's happening. This is not a little thing. This is huge. And we've got to spend 2 hours talking about Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly. People will become sick over this. Crops will be lost. Livestock will be lost. The environment completely trashed over this. 3 states. How's this federal government knows best thing working out for us? How is this federal land management working out for us? I told you last week about the Bureau of Land Management. You know, on the Bundy Ranch thing, they kicked Bundy Ranch. They tried to kick the cows off the land because of turtles and then went in and then exterminated all the turtles that they had to kill Bundy's cows over. And then I told you last week about all the land that the federal government has seized, and now they want to execute wild horses. Oh, we're going to sell them, and then what we can't, these wild horses, we're going to trap them, and then we're going to sell them, and what we can't sell, we'll give away, and what we can't give away, we'll just execute. Really? Come on. Come on. How much longer will we suffer this federal occupation and destruction of our land and our resources? How much longer? Governor Susana Martinez of New Mexico. How much longer? Governor of Utah. How much longer, Governor of Colorado? How much longer will you allow the federal government to occupy and destroy your land? I will remind you, according to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, the federal government has no authority to be on your land for land management, environmental purposes, or anything. The only authority the federal government has to occupy land under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 is 10 square miles, not exceeding 10 square miles. For Washington, D.C., and the land necessary to erect forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, which is not some open-ended boilerplate clause that say they can have anything they want. It's about borders and defense. Do you get that? Forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Forts and defense. The one thing the federal government is supposed to be doing, they refuse to do, and they do everything else, including the destruction of our environment and our property and our resources. I'm just asking, how much longer will we tolerate this? How much more will we have to lose before our comfort is no longer worth it? How much longer will we cling to our three-bedroom, two-bath homes and our affluent neighborhoods and our government school districts and our cell phones and our flat-screen TVs and our night out at the movies? How much longer will we cling to this while Rome burns around us and our water and our resources are destroyed? The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my gun. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much longer it's going to take. I don't know how much more we're going to have to see. I really don't know. I mean, when you have imbeciles, you have imbeciles like Chris Christie, who can even be given the opportunity to stand on stage and be considered as one of the future rulers of America, and simply say, you know, what's that Fourth Amendment? And you know, our Fourth Amendment doesn't mean anything when our buildings are being burned to the ground. You know what? Is this the kind of ruler that America wants? What do we want? You know, I'm drawn back through history. And I'm drawn back through scripture. Because you know what? Even if you don't believe in the Bible as the Word of God and the truth of Christ, then you can at least recognize it as a document of history. It documents historical facts that cannot be denied. It cannot be denied that Jesus was born, okay? It cannot be denied that Moses was born. It cannot be denied that Daniel was a politician over politicians. It cannot be denied that David was king. These things cannot be denied in history. I will be happy to discuss with anybody on why the whole thing is true, but that's not what we're talking about today. So I just want to take the Bible as an historical truth. And in this historical truth, the Israelites account throughout their history Their acquaintance and their encounters, that's the word I'm looking for, their encounters with God. And in that, one of their encounters with God, God says, look, I will be who all you need. I will be your provider. I will be your protector. I will be all you need. And the Israelites said, you know, God, gee whiz, that sounds like a really great deal. But all things considered, we'd just rather have a king like everybody else, a man king like everybody else. I mean, is that who we are, even today? A people who could have so much better, a liberty that's been gifted to them by God, a people who could have so much better, and we still are so fundamentally stupid. Oh, and you know, all things considered, this liberty aside and everything, we'll just have our man kings that will rule over us. We don't need this liberty thing. We don't need to have the ability to govern ourselves and freedom of speech and freedom of press. You know, who needs to be to have a right to be free in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches? Who needs that stuff? You know, hey, we don't need that. We'll take that man king, and we'll talk about our man king for the next 16 months. And as soon as that man king has been determined over the next year, as soon as that man king's been selected, we'll spend the next 4 years determining who our next man king will be. Now, you know, I mean that man in a gender-neutral zone term, so don't get all your feminists, get all your panties in a wad, because I'm talking about man kings. You want a woman king, you can have a woman king, too. I don't care. The whole point is this. We are not to be ruled over. I live in a sovereign and independent state, and I am a sovereign, independent individual. I will declare no man or woman ruler over me. It will not happen. Because I am a free individual. I am a free and independent person, created as a sentient being by a great creator and endowed by my creator with certain inalienable rights. And that means I serve no man. And I'm just wondering, when are the rest of us going to stand up and say that? God bless. See you tomorrow.